from your big foot to tomorrow's mysteries. Almond like petals deep within the
earth.
In the sky,
we
move from your big foot to tomorrow's mysteries. Almond is like petals deep within the earth.
Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. My other sidekick, Bella Boo, is back. She was not feeling good, I guess, last week. Buddy Boo is behind me, and Steve Barish is on the phone there, ready to join in a minute. And those of you that stayed after, you know, we had a 10-minute after show last week featuring Buddy Boo singing, and now that's on YouTube. It went over right on YouTube right after the show, and it's been getting a lot of attention over there. So if you want to see Buddy Boo, who's talking in the background right now, that's that little green bird right there, that bird, there one. He'll be singing for you over on YouTube. Maybe after the show's over today, we'll do another 10 minutes on video here. We'll see how it goes. How are you doing, Steve?
Pretty good. Doing a lot of interesting work, but pretty good.
Well, we got the book finished. It's going to the publisher next week. We've started taking orders on it, and I'll explain that in a little bit, how you can order my new book, finally. And get it shipped, hopefully, within 3 weeks. So we're kicking and wicking here, you know. So tell us about your week.
Well, I'm opening up to new energy. Every week it seems like something else new is happening. I'm getting into the endocrine system. And I worked on the thyroid. And I'm just finding out that the energies that you can put into the thyroid and the other endocrine system seems to be opening things up a lot for me and for my clients. So it's starting to pay off. It's something I've been doing since last Monday. And what I've done is I have a friend who has a bad thyroid, and I worked on that thyroid for about 10 minutes. And a lot of it was emotional. And when I cleared the thyroid, the other endocrine system started to open up. I could see things opening up between just about everything. Just, you know, the pineal gland, the thymus, everything. It was opening up and really receiving a lot of light. So the vibratory quality is really going up, and the energy I'm using is pretty strong right now. So I've been using the projector along with the nuclear receptor, and it seems to be doing a combination of opening up me enough to be able to do these glands, and it really, really seems to be working.
Yeah, that's,
so,
Yeah, that sounds great.
That's what I'm doing now. And the interesting thing about it is that when you put love into one of these glands, the other glands open up. It's so interesting, Fred, to see these things really open up and start to clear. And she was feeling a lot better when she left. She was happy, and because the thyroid can, that controls a lot of stuff. So I'm really doing that work, and also I'm going into the spine and clearing the spine. I actually go right into the spine through the brain, and I'm clearing that too. So a lot is happening very quickly right now, and I had to do a lot of meditation on going through the spine. It's very interesting when you start clearing that out. But that's stuff that will be coming in the future. I can see things happening and changing as the nerves are being repaired in terms of any blockages, anything of that nature. So I'm really doing a lot of work with that right now.
That's pretty cool. You know, we've also started work on the X1.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So now what we're going to be doing is getting a little more specific, in the field of what you've been talking about and what we've been talking about. The field is now officially recognized. Pear Laboratories, which is a Princeton at Princeton University.
Mm-hmm.
It's their Princeton Anomaly Research Lab is now recognizing this work, and we're into a field, I'm going to talk about it in a little bit, called quantum biology, which explains everything we've been doing with these receptors and projectors in an new orthodox physics way that we haven't talked about, and I didn't want to talk about it until the book was ready, because we're opening, we're launching a whole new thing that a lot of people haven't even heard of, So tonight we're going to be talking about that and how, I put it up there on the chat board on the Ustream, how to order the book.
We're wonderful.
Looking at probably 3 to 4 weeks delivery, maybe 5, but I think we'll have it out pretty quick. And by the way, the sidekick buddy, he after the show last week, we had a lot of connections, several hundred connections. So we did a video, a separate video of 10 minutes, and he likes to sing. Buddy Boo, if you look up Buddy Boo on YouTube now, is singing after the show.
That's great.
So my sidekicks are becoming rock stars now.
Yeah,
Bella Boo provides the kind of passion here. Taking my hat off now. And and Buddy provides the entertainment, I think. You're entertaining us, aren't you, Buddy? Yeah. So in a minute I'm going to read some stuff out of the epilogue. That was the hardest thing to finish.
Huh.
The book will be probably around 460 pages, and that's fine print. That's 10-point italic.
Mm-hmm.
Want to give you an update. It's in my new book. It's a vaccine update. This has been reported. It's coming off the several websites. The mandatory thing is already mandatory in several countries. And fascism works, pretty openly. And we have to start protesting. There are several there are several lawsuits going on by some pretty high powers against the people in the health science, the health industry, who the U.S. Department of the Secretary of Health for this country. A lot of lawsuits are going on from some powerful people against this proposed Tamiflu vaccination. And, of course, I was working on chemtrails, because I knew they were dumping viruses.
Yes.
Into aircraft fuel.
Yes.
And they had done a lot of tests. they've done a lot of tests to make sure the engines weren't affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine mm-hmm. that?
Yep.
So what happened is we've now, some biochemists are stepping forth, and if you will, I would call it blowing the whistle. And I'm not going to present names yet, but I will probably in the upcoming weeks. But here's something to think about. An aerosol precursor, this is a direct quotation from a pretty famous person, pretty well in the know. Mm-hmm. An aerosol precursor has been put into the air, and almost everyone has breathed it into their lungs. The biochemist further states that the vaccines to be administered in the fall will be activated when the constituents come in contact with the aerosol precursor in the body, which will then cause the rapid spread of H1N1 influenza A virus.
It's really incredible.
You get that? That's already been done with the chemtrails, and now will be activated by the Tamiflu. And if you look at the current research on the Internet, and I've been all over the Internet and talked to a lot of people that aren't on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
What they're doing now, this will be the first vaccine that ever that has a living virus in it.
Mm.
So, you know, even without the aerosol activation from the air that you breathe all over the world, you still can get activation in some cases. And so this is why our science of quantum bioscience, quantum biochemistry, is going to be so incredibly important. And the introduction to it is in my book. And there'll be on the raysoftruth.tv website a lot of updating going on as fast as the news gets out there on this particular phenomenon. I can see a tremendous upheaval coming worldwide because I know for a fact the people in the southern states and the western states like Texas, Oklahoma, anyone that has any form of anti-force weapons, they're going to be using them. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? There's
mm-hmm.
no way. And I'm telling you, the media is so pollinated now by the CIA, especially the CIA, and I'm really shocked the CIA got behind this. I would have thought maybe this would be more of an NSA thing, but unfortunately, I guess they are behind it because of, obviously where their paychecks come from, but what I don't think they realize is that once this thing goes, they cannot be inoculated with something that's not being talked about. I've looked at a couple of other companies out there that nobody knows about that do work on vaccines. They're smaller companies. And there actually are vaccines that are viable against these vaccines. In other words, once you got vaccinated with this stuff, there are vaccines that will counteract it and get rid of it. And we'll be later on.
Gotcha.
The idea is not to get vaccinated. Secondly, with the receptor, anybody that has a weak immune system, and the atmosphere has been, subtly tearing down people's immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
People that are using their receptor, which is as a quantum biological device, and I'm going to explain a little bit more in depth what that means further on in the show, will have a much better chance against completely destroying their entire program before it even can get activated in the system. In other words, we can demobilize the entire vaccine and the air particulate instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing that. But I never realized that our devices were going to be so critical against these horrible extermination programs. I had no clue. Although years ago, when I spoke to the Pleiadians, the Andromedans, they told me there'd be a lot of surprises, and that they were. Now I'm starting to see how divine intervention works, because the projector, which is the deliverance of the quantum mechanic on the quantum biological protection, is a device that's Andromedan, and therefore, if the One World Order and WHO and all these other, you know, Tavistock-driven companies are putting this information out and into our system,
mm-hmm.
then what happens is now I can see how divine intervention works through these devices. I mean, sure, there's other aspects of it, like the communication aspect of people resisting that and being motivated by what we do and what Alex Jones does and what other people are doing.
Yes.
It's all starting to form a revelation, you follow me? Which then,
yes.
you think, could be interpreted as divine intervention. And that's kind of how mm-hmm. this stuff works. The receptor, mm-hmm. in this case, becomes the receiver. So the projector, it's like when we were doing those demonstrations,
yes.
you know, where we have the projector visualized, you know, worn and visualized by someone, another person under attack. That person under attack, even though they have no visible protective means, is being protected. And we've demonstrated that time and time
again. Yes, we did.
Now that is scientific fact. That is absolutely accepted in science. It's going into the X1 healing machine. I mean, you're already wearing it on your chest.
Yes.
All you have to do is know how to use it and be prepared to use it. And these standalone projectors are going to be necessary now, because once you set the system up in motion, you don't want to have to mentally think about it. But with a master crystal or some form of quartz and a standalone, it will perpetuate the energy as long
yes.
as that virus resides itself in our atmospheres. Pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, really interesting. You know, I was reading a little bit more about the H1, and some of the pharmaceutical companies are telling people not to take the Tamiflu shot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are totally against it.
Right. Try the FDA.
Yep.
The Drug Administration not behind this.
Yep.
At all. This is strictly intelligence community putting undue pressure on the world global news network for the benefit of Big Pharma, which is the richest. You know, pharmaceuticals are the richest and most lucrative business in the whole world. A pill that costs a penny to make can be sold for up to $50, typically averaging $10 in antibiotics
mm-hmm.
for a penny to $10.
Mm-hmm.
That's big money.
That's real big money.
Yeah, and that's about where the profit margins are. And when you have these offshore companies like Gilead and others, you know, and all around the world, they're just making huge, huge profits now. And so they are blinded by their profits. They're blinded by their anxiety, and it's going to collapse on them. I looked, there's a guy I haven't met him yet. I'm going to get him on the show. His name is Robert N. Boyd. He's a physicist. I think he's possibly a Cherokee Indian. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used some of his work in my work. And he is brilliant on quantum biology. He probably will be my mentor for a while. He's so brilliant.
Mm.
If he wants to, well, whether he wants to or not, he will, because I'm studying his work like there's no tomorrow. It's R.N. Boyd, B-O-Y-D. Look him up on the internet. Robert N. Boyd. I forget what the N stands for.
Okay.
And his work it's taken our abstract stuff and applied it directly to grounded quantum physics, quantum biology. And he has been doing this for quite a while. But the nice mm-hmm. thing about him is that on his website, I was able to see, sylphs, these are nature spirits. He photographs them. He's a physicist now, possibly. I don't know if he's a doctor or not, but he could be at least a naturopath. He's a qualified physicist with a degree and such.
Hmm.
And that he's taking pictures of nature sylphs in the clouds eating up contrails.
Hmm.
Isn't that pretty cool?
That is cool.
And that's going to really freak out a lot of these One World Order people, as time moves on, with their very grounded monetary upside down third ray energy fields.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
they're all going to kill themselves. What they're going to do? That's what they're doing. They're creating their own self annihilation. And the people that they're targets are going to be achieving some form of immortality. It's going to reverse on them.
But, well, it's very interesting that I don't think that they realize how powerful that nuclear receptor actually is.
Well, sure. the FDA has, and we will now get ready to proceed with the test that they've asked for, because I have a specific program laid out now that the universities that like probably Harvard, I mean Princeton will probably be a place to go with this. Princeton Medical School and research, the para group and the medical group. We may go back to Princeton with this thing if they're interested. I think if I talk to the right people back there, and I know a few, it's possible. Otherwise, I'll work with USC and UCLA. You know, University of California at Irvine, even though there's a sports competitive rivalry between the two colleges, they both have a hell of a lot to offer. And I think when it comes to life and death of the populace, the egos go away real quick.
It's really powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, so I thought you'd get a kick out of all this, you know?
Yep.
So
if you need my help, I'm more than happy to help you with all that.
So you're helping, you know, we do the show, and you can talk about this on your show and spread the word.
Yeah, yeah.
The word is out there. You know, I mean, Michael Jackson's death was a big deal, and these kids that get kidnapped all the daily, these young children that get kidnapped and by you know, are killed by their own parents, and all that's very important. It's in the news. But when the Baxter thing happened over in back in February and March, where they put out, you know, several million vials of contaminated Tamiflu into five different countries,
and yes,
the Republic, Czechoslovakian Republic caught it before it was distributed. To me, that's big news. But of course, that was not allowed by our intelligence groups to be one word uttered on our news agencies in this country, but in every other country on the news. It was definitely uttered. You know, they talked about it. Here, it was never even mentioned, you know?
Yeah, it's so interesting how we're blocked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so
interesting. And so far, the number of deaths in this worldwide pandemic is under 100.
Yeah.
And I mean, why initiate a vaccine over something when the entire infected populace is under 100? I mean,
well, the interesting thing
is Temecula and the Imperial Valley probably had 100 car wrecks out here today, and probably 5-10 deaths from car wrecks. And I don't see any vaccine to prevent car wrecks, you know?
Yeah.
Or things to wake people up so they don't have the accident that causes the car wreck.
Right.
Pretty cool, huh? It's
really cool, Fred. It's really cool. It's so powerful. The news is so powerful. They want to not spread what's going on. They want to put stuff in there that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but see, look at the news. NBC is a good example. ABC is the classic example. They're so lame. They can screw up. Their high definition sucks. I mean, their sports event coverage is terrible. They're classic. Their money all comes from sponsors, and the sponsors, of course, will pull. The sponsors are controlled by these intelligence networks. The main stockholders are people high up in the government, and so they're never going to report it. You know, they're not going to report it.
Yeah.
And the thing they did in Fox about 2 weeks ago was the typical fascism. They announced, they made one and only announcement on the 11 o'clock news, you know, across the country, that there would be mandatory FEMA military enforced vaccinations this fall. And if you didn't comply, you'd be going into these new 800 penitentiaries. As a matter of fact, the Army right now, who maintains them, are running ads, you know, for more people to join them to run these prisons. The Army right now is recruiting people to run the prisons as we speak. Started about a week ago.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, you talk about conspiracy theory. Yeah, this is a conspiracy, you know?
Yep.
A big one. And all you got to do is look around. You'll see it. But some people are still too, you know, bound up in their problems. And unfortunately, those people won't be with us. You know, the people that are bound up in their problems will succumb to this, and they'll die. And that's what this program's all about.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to wipe out a lot of people.
Yeah, the plan, remember the 1918 Fort Dix?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
600,000 Americans and 50 million Europeans was the number. That was back in 1918. Same stuff. Created in the same lab, largest federal penitentiary, correctional facility, where prisoners are guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Special privileges. If you're a prisoner in one of these places and you agree to do, you know, to be a guinea pig, and you survive, the result is you get, you know, sometimes furloughs, early outs, you know, internal freedoms, homeroom, television privileges, special foods. Sometimes they're paid off in a little extra spending money. They turn their heads and allow them to do drugs, you know, cocaine, heroin drugs. There's lots of little favors that they entice these prisoners with to make them cooperate in their experiments. People don't really understand the working mechanisms of a federal correctional facility, but having had them as my clients back when I had my electronics company, I've been in them. I know how they work. I've talked to prison guards and prison superintendents. I've been there, done that. And back when I did it, I'm sure it was probably even more subdued than it is now. It's more open now. They're so confident these days. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You ever go into a big correctional facility?
No, I've never been, Fred. I have no idea what it's like, but it must be a nightmare.
It's different. It's very cliquish. You know,
is it?
Very political. Very political. They got the spy system. They got the hired killers. They got the you know, the sexual thing favors going on. They got the drug operations. They got the manufacturing operations for things. They got outside control operations. It's amazing. It's a miniature world, you know, a miniature world in there.
Yeah, my question is that when you're in a federal prison, governmental prison, they can do anything they want to you, can't they?
Well, yeah, any prison, pretty much, they can do that.
Well, they can.
Yeah, but you like Attica and places like that where they had their prison riots?
Yes.
Back about 25, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? There is when that was the beginning of some bit of regulation where a lot of people died, got the attention of a few people.
Mm-hmm.
So now the system is a lot more discreet in its, you know, in its characterization of manipulation of people's freedoms and rights. And now in prison, for example, this terrorism stuff, there's these five kids that got arrested about 3 weeks ago back east, back in your neck of the woods, that had been over in the Far East. They were accused of terrorism. They haven't done anything, but because where they've been in the Far East, Middle East, rather, they're accused of terrorism. And so they go up for arraignment. Luckily, they got some habeas corpus rights, and so they went up for, the hearing where you say guilty or not guilty, arraignment. And when they went up for the arraignment hearing, they were going for bail.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge didn't deny the bail. He wanted to look at the case more. But he publicly said, it was in the news, on the headline news in CNN, that it didn't look like the government had a case against these guys. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't look like the government had a case against these guys. That's why he didn't give them bail yet, because he wanted to see if they needed any.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow or other, they were able to pull off their habeas corpus rights, meaning they could have an attorney represent them, and they could be, abridged of their crimes. But back when Bush was in, that wouldn't have been possible. They'd have shipped them off to Guantanamo.
Right, right.
And they would be forgotten.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of that going on now. I still think there's secret prisons going on.
Oh, there are. There,
you know, it's just
hundreds that are out there right now. One of the biggest ones is in Indianapolis. But
really?
Most of them are being used for illegal immigrants, aliens. They put them in there before they deport them.
Wow.
So they use, and that's probably one of the reasons why they have some of the trains coming in there now. But realize that, you know, the one in Indianapolis has three levels of color. So where when the train stops, if it's the red zone, green zone, or blue zone, it tells you whether people are going to be summarily executed, interned, to what level, depending on what color their car stops at.
Wow.
You know, that's already done. Or and if they're going to be executed, they have gas chambers already installed. I've seen pictures of the gas, you know, where they store their own gas. It's not like they hook their gas up to a local gas company. They use stuff like Sycon B, and it's in there already. And these are big chambers. The execution chambers are 30, 40, 50 feet by that same size. In other words, 2,000 or 3,000 square feet.
That's absolutely incredible, Fred. It sounds like World War II again.
Well, you know, it's like Einstein said, World War III might be fought with nuclear, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
Yeah. He wasn't too far off.
Not at all. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a little bit out of the book. Towards the back, and I'm going to start. Let me see here. Where should I start? I'm going to start with the acceleration of, the universe is expanding, right?
Yes.
The universe is about 13.8 to 14 billion years old, as we know it, since the Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see how much I got to read to get to where I want. Okay, hang on. I don't want to get too. I may skip a bit because this is too much to read on this show. This is well into it. We're talking about different kinds of fields in the universe.
Okay.
Cosmologists estimate the acceleration. We're talking about the acceleration of the expanding universe.
Mm-hmm.
And cosmologists estimate the acceleration began 5 billion years ago. Before that, it was thought that the expansion was accelerating due to the influence of dark matter and previously baryons previously discussed, which dark matter is responsible for the expansion of the universe, and dark energy is responsible for the rate of expansion. And when we start looking at these two factors, it has a lot to do with quantum cellular biology.
Mm.
However, it is my feeling that independent life forms began to form as consciousness itself began to manifest in some form of self-recognition. Going back into physics, we find what is called the string theory of one-dimensional oscillating energy lines which multiply themselves into particles.
Mm-hmm.
String theories include objects more general than strings called brains, the word brain coming from membrane. Brains can be in any dimension up to 11, and this is, you know, the stuff that Michio Kaku is doing now.
Right.
They are the basis for the M theory, which is a theoretical idea for the theory of everything, which is called TOE. If we look at a cross-section of an 11-dimensional membrane, we observe a 10-dimensional string. A string therefore, as a single brain. When dealing with dimensional structures, we're dealing with forces that connect but do not have a singular time arrangement. The only real connection that allows the entire Goldilocks principle of life to exist would be consciousness itself. In other words, if the temperatures, if the rate of expansion or any of the what we call cosmological factors change, the universe could burn up, freeze, and stop expanding very quickly. So it's a very delicate thing that goes on here. So there must be an intelligence directing it, because the molecules and atoms themselves aren't that smart. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The real connection then would be consciousness. Okay. In science, we end up with what we call the holographic principle, which is a property of quantum gravity, and that's the field of theoretical physics attempting to unify in quantum mechanics with general relativity in a self-contained manner. Which is a property of quantum gravity in the black hole information paradox, which suggests the physical information would disappear into a black hole, allowing physical science to evolve precisely the same state. In my book, Rays of Truth, I cover the subject more thoroughly in Chapter 17, entitled Cellular and Stellar Interactivity Galactic Consciousness. Since then, the holographic principle has been scientifically proposed by Gerard de Hooft and Leonard Susskind, and we hope to get them on the show at some point.
Mm.
However, the holographic principle is... we've talked to Leonard about it. He's agreed to do it. However, the holographic principle is the only part of the structure of the hologram posed by physicist David Bohm. Of course, David Bohm died in 1992. What a loss. And he was another Nobel-type physicist. Before going any further, let's go back in history. As we discussed earlier in the book, civilization as we know it today began 8,000 years ago in Sumeria. Slightly after that, about 4,000 BC, when the religion of Hinduism was in its grassroots state, a group of people known as Rishis began to come for that information that supposedly had been given to earlier sages approximately 25,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's only 2,000 years ago we're talking about, when the information came forward. The Rishis were mostly women and were the authors of the early Indian and Tibetan Vedas and Upanishads, which are recorded rhymes and verses of early science. Now, it's interesting that it's stated here that the Rishis are mostly women. Well, guess what? The women from the Pleiades are Rishis. So if the Pleiadians were coming here at 25,000 years ago, they were typically women, because there wasn't a threat to the male ego. And this is right out of the history of, you know, from India and Tibet. Okay, these records were about 1500 BC and recorded matter in its smallest constituent, something smaller than the Planck length, which we've talked about, 10 to the minus 33 centimeter, or the smallest unit of substance that can be demonstrably measured in some mathematical constituency. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And slightly larger than cosmic foam. Cosmic foam being, and this is explained in the book in earlier chapters, cosmic foam being any one of the bubbles could be a big bang in a parallel universe. You follow me?
Yes.
Which, as you remember, each bubble has the ability to become a big bang in some alternative dimension.
Yes.
Okay, these particles are called putatamas. They're considered the smallest unit of consciousness. In physics, there is a particle called a soliton, which is a self-reinforcing solitary wave that maintains itself and travels at a constant speed. Solitons are caused by the cancellation of nonlinear, and in physics it means nonlinear does not satisfy the superposition principle, as its output is not proportional to input. So it's a cancellation of nonlinear and dispersive effects. Dispersive effects are described as wave propagation variance, as a white light moving into a prism and exiting as a rainbow. Okay? So if you see white light go into a prism and it comes out as a rainbow, okay, that's called a propagation variance. And I try to make it simple so that people can see in ordinary life what they've seen and then relate it to a quantum term. So it gives them something to see in the future when this becomes more mainstream. You follow me?
Yes.
That's why I break it down. I've done this with every single word in this book. Every word that I don't consider conventional is broken down in parentheses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so anyway, solitons arise as solutions of a widespread class of weakly nonlinear partial differential equations. The equations are used to describe the propagation of sound, heat, electrostatics, the dynamics, fluid flow, and electricity, describing physical systems. To put this simpler in simpler terms, the soliton is a loosely coupled, coherent system of subquantum particles. Okay? And I have and I have the website for R.N. Boyd. This came from him. And that is www.rilian.com. That's www.rilian.com. And look in there and you'll see this stuff. Okay, now let's look at the work at Carl H. Pribram. He was born February 25th, 1990. No, that's a mistake. Born in Vienna, Austria. He's a noted Georgetown professor at Georgetown University and has an emeritus professor of psychology and psychiatry at Stanford and Radford University. He's a board-certified neurosurgeon. Okay. That's pretty heavy. I mean, neurosurgeon. Oh, we got time here. My God, this is going by too fast. Okay. As a leading researcher in defining the limbic system and its relationship to the brain, the limbic system, of course, is the central nervous system, the all up and down your spine.
Yes.
His research in memory shows that the memory of a human being is not localized in the brain at all. This is something I have stated for many years in my own work. His experiments prove that memory is distributed in space, not necessarily contiguous with human physical form, in a holographic-like manner. This means that there exist multiple copies of any memory object in the bottom of the hologram. Okay, called the Pribram model of memory, he demonstrated that a memory is a hologram. Regardless of how many pieces you would divide a brain into, each part, regardless of size, still contains the memory of the whole. Several researchers chose to disprove his notions of localized memory. They first began to cut out and remove various parts of rat's brain, but still the rats were able to negotiate a particular maze. Later on, the brains were completely removed and reinstalled sideways, upside down, and backwards, and still the rats never lost their ability to negotiate the maze. Then out of frustration, they completely liquidized the rat's brain, and still and put that back in the liquid, and the rat functioned normally. Take a look at the work of Dr. Vladimir Poponin and his work, The DNA Phantom Effect. Okay? And I go into that. It's pretty interesting. I'm not going to read all that because we don't have enough. 45. Let's see how much more time I got here. Second here. Yeah, I think we can read this. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what he did. I'm just going to describe what he did. All right. And it's well described in here. He has a laser. It shoots into what's called a scattering chamber. The scattering chamber, he has a lens collimator which focuses the beam at the same time, and he has a photo multiplier too, which is inside the scattering chamber. So any way the photons are distributed by any force show up on the photo multiplier tube, and then they go right out on a screen on a computer, and you get an image. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they just shot photons in the tube into the chamber, took human DNA, put it in the chamber, out of the beam, just in the corner. Immediately, the chamber and the photomultiplier assumed the pattern of human DNA. What do you think of that?
That's incredible.
Just in there. Okay? Then they took the DNA out, and now you had an empty chamber. For 30 more days, the DNA remained the same of human DNA. It was still there. Anytime you shine light in there, polarized light, like a laser, immediately formed the human DNA pattern in photons. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Now what you can do, they haven't done this yet, but I have done it. You can take that human DNA outside the chamber, never put it back within the 30-day period, and alter it. And in the chamber where there's no DNA, it's been out for 10 days, it will show the alteration.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So Here we are seeing the biofield as a three-dimensional web of vibrating electric and magnetic fields distributed repeatedly in a holographic-like structure.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the DNA. These fields create small electromagnetic lines that fall into physics as Maxwell's equations. Here we go. Maxwell's equations are set up for partial differential equations to describe the electric and magnetic fields to relate them to their sources, charge density and current density. There's
mm-hmm.
four of them. These equations show that light is an electromagnetic wave. Individually, these four equations are Gauss's law, distribution of electrical charge, and magnetism. Gauss's law of magnetism states that magnetism has polarity, which we all know. Faraday's law of induction, inducing electromagnetic force, is proportional to magnetic flux of current. And Ampere's law, with Maxwell's correction. That means the size of a magnetic field in a coil being proportional to the current in the coil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in physics, we use that together with the Lorentz force law. Lorentz force law is a mathematical point where a magnetic force is located. I mean, that's not too complicated. If you take a magnetic force and you put a point, and you point to some place in that, and then you point to a second place and draw a vector, that's Lorentz theorem. It's not that complicated. And what you're looking at is flux lines, Gaussian measurements between the two points within the field. You follow me?
Yes.
Okay. So now with that, we are able to bridge consciousness into quantum physics. An associated map for those who want to get exploratory can be found in Clifford algebras, which have important expressions in the field of geometry and theoretical physics, and that's what I just described. The Clifford algebra is the algebra that they use to manipulate
right.
these different Lorentz transformations. Do you follow
mm-hmm.
me? It's
mm-hmm.
just algebra
yes.
is all it is. I'm not going to go into that here. Okay. All major organs of the human body contain magnetic fields. Because electricity, when conducted through a wire or a nerve, will have a corresponding magnetic field, and due to the complexity of the human brain and its connection to the neocortex, a non-polarized magnetic field is always present. The biofield of the human brain is constantly interacting with magnetic fields of the terrestrial level and the quantum fields of the entanglement level. This interaction creates a thought process wherein true consciousness interacts with our own physical experiential level.
Mm-hmm.
The biofield has two attributes that should be duly noted. One is the informational, which relies on DNA, RNA, gene sequencing, which falls into a line of electromagnetically with the above-mentioned Maxwell equations and the growing evolutionary component, which is transmitted through growth and discovery as the biomachinery moves through one generation to the next. It is now shown that this is occurring by quantum entanglement,
mm-hmm.
resulting stimulation electrical precursation, which I wrote about all over the place ever since Barry Sears brought it up, and I was the head of him.
Mm-hmm.
Within quantum entanglement, has a book called The Zone. We're in the quantum entanglement process is directly identifying itself to the pre-electrical body of intelligence that affects future DNA processes. An example of this would be a body contracting an unhealthy virus, the immune system responding by destroying the virus, and then leaving a precursor within itself that would allow the same virus to inhibit the body, not to inhibit the body at any time. In other words, once the virus is in there, DNA reads it, it can never affect you again. You get an effect until the DNA reading takes place. It's all quantum. So that virus can come around next year. That flu can come around next year. You're not going to get it.
Right. Because
your body's already identified it and adjusted to it. That's what the vectors, this is called vectoring, and the negative vectoring size of it is the Tamiflu will destroy the body's ability to make this process work.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So you have to read this book to really get a feel for it. Okay. Within the cell groups, we're okay. We've got 4 minutes. Within the cell groups of the human body are molecules called stereogenic centers, responsible for grouping, leading to a stereoisomer, which is in the organic chemistry usually refers to a carbon, phosphorus, or sulfur atom. These molecules have multiple stereoisomers. This is due to the stereogenic center's tetrahedral octahedral shape. And that's why we have the shape of the pyramid, the tetrahedron, on the face of, in multiplicity, of the projector and receptor. And I can't go into much more because we don't have the time, but basically we can go on, continue on next week, and we'll get into, we'll get into what are called entomers, which are stereoisomers, and what stereoisomers, what we're going to get into next week is how the DNA and the cell in the body mirrors itself before it reproduces.
Okay.
And if it goes into a negative, what's called chiral situation, there's a distortion, and the DNA evolves to a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into a positive chiral condition, then it will evolve into a good place. And what the nuclear receptor does is it puts a positive chiral spin on the quantum component of a cellular reproduction. And this is all the new, the quantum biochemistry that I've been talking about.
Yes. So what you're saying is basically is that the Tamiflu actually blocks that from happening.
Yeah, it's a death. It's
they've got that all figured out.
It's a death serum. It will kill you.
Yes.
And every time you get any kind of virus, it will make you worse for the rest of your life until you don't exist.
Right.
But I explain this. These terms that I'm using are orthodox medical terms now. This new stuff, there'll be Nobel Prizes handed out for people that are coming forth with some of these terminologies and work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we're going to announce the book, okay? The Inside Track will be available, taking orders now. We're only printing 700 copies, unabridged, 700 only.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be available for $88. That's it. There'll be 50 other copies made in a medieval a binding, which will sell for $500 a piece. The binding alone is costing over $250. These will be both of them will be classic. Be worth my books, like My Death of Ignorance. I did 444 copies of that,
mm-hmm.
and originally, and that 444 copies today. If you see the A Death of Ignorance with the short version with the three later chapters that were added, not there on eBay or at Amazon, it'll go for over $1,000. They sold originally for $88, I believe.
Right.
In limited. Each one has a serial number on it. Each one is signed by me and becomes, whatever. After the 750 are done, the 700 at $88 and the 50 at $500 are sold, there won't be any more of this book. It'll be done.
Right.
It will now be at a publisher, and because it's already almost 500 pages again in small print, the publisher's going to whack it, and that's what you're going to be buying, a whacked version of it, probably for $29.95. It won't have all this information.
Well, I think I want one of the original copies of both.
Yeah. Well, we'll put them aside for you,
Yeah.
And there's no giveaways here. They're just you can't. It's not fair because of what it is, but they're a good investment. And,
yep.
And like I say, we're taking orders as of today. We took our first orders, and that's how it goes.
Well, so, I'm your second order then.
Yeah, you'll be my second. I think it'll be my third order. I'll put
okay.
you officially.
Great.
And
great.
So you'll be the third order.
Okay.
So anyway, anything you want to say before we got a couple minutes here?
Well, we'll discuss a little bit more about the DNA tomorrow night on my program, and also we'll talk about the nuclear receptor and also the projectors, and we should have a lot of fun with that tomorrow night, so we can get a lot of phone calls in and really do a lot of good work for people tomorrow night. Should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I had to do a bird switch. Bella has to use the restroom, which is behind me on that perch there. And Buddy Boo's now up for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'll have my normal Saturday night canned show. But anyhow, it's been a very interesting finishing this book up, which is 4 years of work.
Yes.
I'm making shock. You know what I mean? Now I'm having to do the bibliography, and they're doing an index, and other people are working on it now. And I'm trying to get the artwork similar to the one on the last book. It's a very famous artist that does that. artwork. He's done it. Some of his paintings are in the White House, the Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
And this artwork hopefully will be on this book. It's not guaranteed yet. His name, by the way, just looking it up here now, is Jim Lars, L-A-R-Z, and he's world famous. You can look him up on the internet. So we're trying to get the artwork from him. It may not be possible, depending on the cost, because I've got a lot. You know, when you write a book like this over 4 years, you get a lot of money tied up into it, to say the least. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, anyway, you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. Phone number is 1-800-729-2603 to order the book that you've been hearing about for the last 6 months. And put your number, Steve, your phone number.
Phone number is area code 585-746-8321.
Can I repeat it one more time?
585-746-8321.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. Background music from Voyager. I don't know if we're going to run a 10-minute show after this. Depends on if Buddy wants to sing or not. Put him back up. What we usually do, so you guys know, we end the show when we go off the air, and then we restart the broadcast and do a separate 10-minute recording if Buddy wants to sing. It's up to him. And then we put him over on YouTube. All right, that's it. See you in a bit.